We got a top five baseball series tonight, but before we get there, I didn't want to go
big
too
day.
Much further. Yo, huge,
massive day,
huge day. Plainsman Park's gonna
my
be
my oldest
nuts
child.
Tonight.
My oldest child turning six today.
Nice. Oh, happy
no longer
birthday.
A small child.
No. Oh, you got a six-year-old now. She can do so much stuff to help around the house. I mean, it's chore time, baby.
Totally.
That's great. What are you going to do to celebrate?
Her party's not till next week. Wait until some family can to get in town.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm hoping this changes. And we've kind of like tried to convince her to change her mind. She loves Olive Garden. She loves it. So normally anytime she gets to pick dinner, she's like, I want Olive Garden.
Yeah.
But she's real gung-ho about going to McDonald's for her birthday dinner. And we're like, you sure that's what you want? Like, you want to eat there? Hey. Like, yeah, but eat there. And it's like,
enjoy it now. Enjoy it now, Zach, because in 10 years, it's going to be steak and lobster for a Sweet 16. Like, it's coming.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I don't, we'll see if she changes her mind or not. I'll let you know tomorrow when we do the Octopod.
That's awesome. I love it. Yep. All right. Well, so before we talk baseball, I really wanted, this is like, I'm really dug in on this. We mentioned it Friday in the Octopod last week, and I want to try to come up with our list. Alex Golish talks about being elite. You got to have an elite mindset. And I think it's a word we throw around a lot, but are we using it correctly? Do we know what it means to truly be elite? And I wanted to try to identify Auburn's Elite Eight. Forget Rushmore. Mount Rushmore is last year. That's 2025. What about the Elite Eight in Auburn history?
Just football?
No. All sports. All
so the sports. Eight. So we're picking the eight.
Most
best
elite.
Slash most elite.
Yeah.
In Auburn history.
Yeah.
All right. So we got to start with the three Heisman. Like, let's get the low hanging fruit out of the way. So
agree.
Cam Newton passed all of them. Bo Jackson. Those three are done.
Yes. Like by
Charles
nature,
Barkley.
They are, yeah.
Charles Barkley has to be there.
Agreed.
Frank Thomas has to be there.
Agreed. He's in the Hall of Fame. Both those guys
the
are
first
Hall of Fame.
Five. And I actually think the next one's easy too. I think Suni Lee is easy here.
Okay. I tend to agree, but
she was literally the best gymnast on the planet. That's why the Olympics exist.
I know. And I'm not discounting Suni. I'm just saying you're putting a lot of people in this category. You're not leaving a lot of room for discussion. And there's some other Olympic medalists in Auburn's history.
I would argue, though, if you're doing this from the goalish talking about being elite category, is his bar of what's expected?
Yeah.
There is really no discussion.
Okay.
When you're truly elite, it's like, yes, that's different than everything else.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think when you look at Suni Lee, all around gold medalist, it's like, yes. It's like a handful of people in the history of humanity that have done that.
Yeah. All right. Fair. So that's how many? Six?
So we're at six.
This is really difficult if you take those six and lock them in, and now you've only got two more spots left, which is why it makes for good show content.
Okay. Where are you going next?
All right.
I think there's a drop-off here unless I'm missing somebody obvious.
All right. I'm going Kirstie Coventry. Seven medals for Zimbabwe.
Okay.
And now is like the head of the International Olympic Committee.
Okay.
I'm also going Rowdy Gaines.
I was about to say Rowdy Gaines too. Yeah.
Three gold medals. You're the best in the world. Plus his impact on swimming internationally since then. Like, he's an Auburn ambassador.
Okay.
I mean, that's eight.
Do you have any other names?
I got a lot of names.
Keep going.
Okay. All right. Tracy Rocker.
What's the argument for Tracy Rocker over any of those?
He won the Outland and the Lombardi Trophy. College Football Hall of Famers. Tougher for defensive guys to crack, but he's like, you can make the argument Tracy Rocker is the best defensive player ever at Auburn.
Wow.
You can make the argument.
Okay.
Tim Hudson.
I think it's Roger McCreary, but that's fine.
Well, I know you do. Tim Hudson won 220 games.
Tim Hudson crossed my mind, too. Yeah.
Jason Duffner won a major.
Jason Duffner.
I'm telling you, picking eight is really difficult.
I think, though, if we weighted all if we're weighting all sports equally, yeah. I feel good about our eight.
Okay.
So far. Keep going.
Okay. Ruthie Bolton. Two Olympic gold medals.
Mm-hmm.
Dawana Bonner, by the way.
That's a tough one. Yeah.
Dawana Bonner is the leading scorer in Auburn women's basketball history, a multiple-time All-Star, a multiple-time WNBA champion.
Dawana Bonner is a really good one.
She's also, by the way, an Olympic gold medalist.
Is she still playing?
I think so. I think she's got to be.
I think we were doing a show last year. And we looked it up like she's still playing. Yeah. Oh my goodness!
I think she's got to be in the eight.
I think she does too.
So now you're talking about who do you cut out of these? Harvey Glantz was a gold medalist.
I think you cut out Rowdy Gaines for Dawana Bonner.
Okay.
Bonner. Dawana Bonner.
Cesar Cielo was a gold medalist.
I don't know who that is. Tell me who that
swimmer.
Is.
He's a swimmer.
Okay.
Now, again,
some of this stuff, though, like, when you talk about like truly being elite, I don't think it matters what sport you are. You ascend your sport into culture. I'm not saying like national culture. I'm just saying like the culture in which you're installed into. So Auburn, SEC. And I think back to like when Dawana Bonner was here, like it's really the last time I remember people caring about women's basketball. You know, growing up, I loved Auburn basketball, like really came up and fell in love with Auburn basketball during the Jeff Lebo era.
Yeah.
And like, I remember my dad would pick me up from school. We'd go eat at Loco's and then we'd go just walk up to the ticket office, buy two general admission tickets for $5 each.
Yeah.
And we'd go sit and there'd be like, 1,000 people in there.
Yeah.
And then I remember getting tickets for Auburn basketball. I think we were 16-0 and we were hosting Tennessee and seeing Beard Eve's full for the first time for a basketball game. And I was blown away. I'm like, oh my goodness. But all that had to do with Dawana Bonner. Who else was on that team? I think Alex Smalley was on that team. Kiki Carrier, I think, was on that like super fun team.
Sherelle Hobbs was on that team.
I mean, that was an awesome, fun team to watch.
Yeah.
But Dawana, like, I think she ascended that sport into Auburn culture is my argument. Auburn's had a ton of really great swimmers and Olympians. Rowdy Gaines, I think, entered culture outside of swimming. Like people know who Rowdy Gaines is.
Yeah.
People know who Suni Lee is. Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. Charles Barkley, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that might be an argument where like, did Pat Sullivan do that? I think there's a conversation there when we're talking about elite, but I don't think you cannot include your Heisman winners.
Yeah, I agree.
Your eight most elite Auburn athletes of all time.
Yeah.
And obviously Bo Jackson, obviously Cam Newton. And so that's kind of where I'm.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, who do you take out?
So where did we land then? Do we land on Bo, Cam, Pat, Frank Thomas, Charles Barkley, Suni Lee 6, Rowdy Gaines 7, Dawana Bonner 8? That's not a ranking. That's
yeah. The eight. So that's you removing Christy Coventry,
I guess. Gosh. I that's hard to do.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with putting DeJuana Bonner over Christy Coventry.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I think it's the right call.
I mean, Kirsty now's the head of the International Olympic Committee. She's
like, what else? Like, that's
crazy. She's giving speeches to open and close the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about transcending.
You're right.
I just don't know. I'm looking forward to reading the comments on this one, because you absolutely that's the fun of this discussion, is you're not saying so and so was better than another person or whatever. You're just
sure.
If you're confined to eight, where's that cutoff?
Yeah. Now,
and are any coaches and
we're,
there?
We're trying to weight all sports the same.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's fair. Like, if we have to weight like total impact, and like football's heavier, basketball's heavier, baseball's heavier. I mean, I think you got to put Tim Hudson in that conversation.
Yeah. 220 career wins is crazy. And a World Series champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tim Hudson's just so quietly. He's like one of the quiet elite players.
Totally. I think you got to put DeJuana Bonner over him, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to agree.
And there's a lot of people that don't like that, though. But yeah. I think that's the right call.
If you're being objective, I mean, Tim was, even at Auburn, like, he was the SEC Player of the Year, and he was a National Player of the Year in 1997.
Yeah.
He was the National Player of the Year. He was the equivalent of the Heisman Trophy, though.
Yeah, right.
How about Basketball Players of the Year that Auburn has had? What about Jabari? Jabari's still so young in his pro career.
Yeah.
But he delivered an SEC title.
I think the argument would be easier for Janai than it would be Jabari, if I'm being honest with you.
That's true.
What about, like, he's young. I think if we do this conversation in 10 years, Jackson Koivun is
no question
a part of this. No, he's just question. He's still here.
Three-time National Golfer of the Year. He's going to win the Hogan Award.
It's insane.
He's going to win it three times.
We're just in it with him right now, so I think it's a little different when you talk about it. But
that's a great.
You talk about elite. Like, is he the most elite athlete on campus right now?
It's hard to say no, isn't it?
I mean, we're all hoping it's, you know, the guy on offense wearing number 17. Like, we all hope it's going to be him.
Yeah.
You know, but
if Byron Brown is more elite than Jackson Koivun,
we probably win a natty, right?
Look the freak out. Like, yeah, come on. Come on.
Yeah. All right. So what's the eight we settled on? Read it through again.
All right. I think we landed on the three Heisman winners. So Sullivan, Cam, Bo, Charles Barkley, Frank Thomas, DeJuana Bonner, Suni Lee, and who was Rowdy the eighth? Rowdy Gaines. Yeah.
I'm okay with that. You can change my mind, but that's where I'm okay with it right now.
I think it's a really good list. I think if we do the thing that we did yesterday where you draft and you wind up with like three or four groups of eight, that's a really good group. Like, that's an excellent group right there. You can come up with three or four groups of eight that would be good. But I think I'm happy with where we landed on that.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to be happy with where you land in your retirement.
Yes.
Okay, that's really important. You want to talk about elite? Elite is Ford Stokes, president of Active Wealth Management. He's a big Auburn guy. He specializes in helping people build a smart, reliable plan for retirement. And what's really easy about this, you can go directly into Ford's calendar and book a time that works for you. Just go to calendly.com/Ford Stokes. There it is right on your screen if you're watching on YouTube. It's complimentary consultation for listeners and viewers of the barn. No cost to sit down, ask questions, get an actual strategy in place. Just when you book, make sure you let Ford know that we sent you here at Village Vice. Take control of your future, get a plan together, And that's the motto of our friend Ford Stokes and Active Wealth Management.
Yeah, there's been a handful of people that have reached out to me directly asking about Ford because, well, once again, I use Ford and, I've offered. One I offered to, somebody else reached out because I asked you guys to, if you guys want me to like introduce you to Ford. And so it's a little less, I mean, some of the stuff can kind of be a little awkward to start. I'm happy to do that as well if you want to reach out to me directly. And, you know, I can sit in for the first few minutes and introduce y'all, then hop out, you know, whatever you want to do. But Ford handles my family's money and retirement, and it's been an incredible decision. So strongly recommend you do the same.
Good stuff. Auburn and Georgia tonight, 7 o'clock. Speaking of elites, this weekend they're going to honor Josh Donaldson. They're going to put his number out there on the wall in the outfield. He's going to be added to that group out there. So that's outstanding. That's one of a few fun things happening this weekend. But at the end of the day, you got number 4 against number 5. You got Auburn and Georgia. You got the best offensive team in the league. Certainly the most home runs against arguably the deepest pitching staff, the deepest starting rotation in the league. So that's strength on strength. Can the Auburn bats do enough against Georgia pitching this weekend? I don't know. What's your biggest storyline going into the weekend with this series?
Yeah, I think you've got two teams that are really trying to solidify, you know, being a national host. I think they both probably have done enough. I mean, I think Georgia winning the SEC should honestly clinch that at this point. But from we've kind of talked and speculated that RPI seems to matter a lot more than polling and standings do.
Yep.
When the committee comes together, and Georgia from an RPI standpoint is not last I checked, they were like 15
or 16. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so you know, Georgia wants to kind of probably boot that up just a little bit to kind of strengthen their argument. I mean, their argument is already incredibly strong. And then, you know, Auburn kind of in a similar boat. Look, we're among the top teams in the SEC. If we beat Georgia this weekend, we secure, I think, a lot of things, including a top 8 national seed. You also would clinch a top 4 spot in the conference, which allows you to have that double bye in Hoover next week.
Yeah,
if that's something this team wants to push for. So, you know, I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot at stake here.
Well, and let me really hone in and be specific when I said one of the best. It is the best hitting team against the best pitching team. Georgia is the best team batting average in the conference. Auburn by far the best earned run average in the conference. So the only team with a sub-4 ERA, and it's 3.5. So best hitting team against best pitching team. Some other games that you're watching tonight, other series, Mississippi State at Texas A&M. Right, Auburn's got a game on Mississippi State. They've got a game and a half, or they're a half game behind Texas A&M. So, like, do you want Mississippi State to get 2, and then Auburn get 2, and then you finish ahead of Texas A&M for the SEC tournament? If Auburn gets 2 this weekend, regardless of where the seeding is for the SEC tournament, if Auburn gets 2 this weekend, they could be the number 2 overall national seed. Like, that's how high they could be. It could be UCLA and Auburn when the regionals are announced.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you talked about this before, or maybe it was Lindsay. It was one of you two talking about how, like, the national seeds, they seem to, like, base a lot of that off of location now as far as, like, who you might play in a super. So curious, like, if it even really matters, if Auburn's a 2 or if Auburn's a 7, like, just getting that top 8. But it would be cool. It would be cool to have that 2 next to your name for sure. But I don't think, and rightfully so, and this is a Butch Thompson culture thing, like, fortunately, this team doesn't seem to care about that, which is awesome.
Yep.
But just from a, you know, health of the program and, you know, giving something for the fans to be excited about, like, if Auburn was the number 2 overall seed going into the postseason, that would be super cool.
Yeah, it would be the best ever. I mean, the best all time. It would be a new benchmark, something else to celebrate.
Right.
All of the teams that Auburn is right around or like tied with or trying to catch, they're all at home this weekend.
Okay.
So Texas A&M at home against Mississippi State. Alabama's at home against Ole Miss. You're not going to catch Texas. They get Missouri to close the year, and they get that in Austin. So, like, lock in Texas is the two. But Auburn could finish anywhere from third to, like, sixth in all likelihood in the SEC. It's crazy. You could have a top three RPI but finish fifth or sixth in the conference.
Yeah. You know, that that A&M Mississippi State series, incredibly important. You said Alabama Ole Miss.
Yep.
Pretty important as well. You know, Alabama, I think, is actually kind of a sneaky team in the SEC, if I'm being 100% honest with you, as much as I hate it. But there's been a few projections I've seen that it ties the winner of the Auburn Regional and the winner of the Tuscaloosa Regional playing each other in the Supers. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that?
No, and I have a few times tried to imagine it. It'd be unbelievable. I want it. Don't you want it? Don't you want
it? It would be an all-time rivalry event.
Yes.
It'd be one of the, like, outside of, like, football, like, it would be one of the best rivalry events in the history of the, like, the state. It would be incredible.
So imagine two seasons ago basketball when you had those two incredible games.
Yeah.
But we had to wait. They were a month or 6 weeks apart. You'd get one day, and then you'd get another one the very next day.
Yeah, and then probably a third one, you know, the day after that. Maybe, but, I mean, it would be it'd be unbelievable.
A winner take all? A winner take all Auburn, Alabama baseball game.
It would be the most expensive non-football, like, Iron Bowl ticket ever.
With Omaha on the line.
I mean, I hope it happens. I want it.
Me too. That's the dream scenario. All right. One thing at a time. Take care of business tonight, and then
that'd be so fun.
Yeah.
Give it to us. And if we don't beat them, like, we don't deserve to go. You know, that's what it comes down to.
No, nobody would have fingernails. Heart rate's at an all-time high.
Yeah, I just can't imagine Plainsman Park in that situation. Like, it'd be electric.
That's right.
It'd be electric. So, all right. I think that does it for today's show.
Thanks, everybody, for watching, for listening. Please subscribe. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Sometimes you can't talk. Everyone has vices. Makes your Village Vices one of yours.